Live from the Gruber Law Offices, One Call, That's All Studios in downtown Milwaukee at the 3rd Street Market Hall.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
Well, there's no, you're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
We're a little all over the place in terms of how to listen to the program today, so your loyalty, which we appreciate, might be tested a little bit. I'm sorry, I must not have gotten the memo that we were wearing sport coats over t-shirts on today's show, so I went hoodie and backwards hat. And we get to have fun with Josh DiMaggio, Big Cat, joining us today.
Oh, the cat!
Rawr! Okay. Of Wilde and Tausch. On 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison for a little while, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam for a portion of the program, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and, of course, everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. It is WIAA State High School football time. So we're on in an abbreviated version across terrestrial radio on 100.5 ESPN Madison before we kick off WIAA action. So we are emanating from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Studios at the Avenue and the 3rd Street Market Hall, which is where our boy Joshy DiMaggio is producing today's show. Joshy, good morning. How are you, buddy?
I am doing wonderful, Jason. I'm happy to be back with my buds here on Wilde and Tausch. It's been a while.
We're happy to have you. You would think with all the time Jesse has taken off that you would have had the opportunity to do this, but it's been a while. And from his undisclosed location, getting ready to head to some sort of formal events, it is the Packers Hall of Famer. It's Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. I love the
t-shirt and sport coat
combo.
Thanks, man.
Do you have a hot date today, you and old girl?
No,
or what do you
got
going on?
Date. It's a thing I do every time. Every time it's the first snowfall of the year, I go t-shirt and sport jacket. That's just been a tradition I've done for a long time.
Really?
So here I am.
Well, you learn something new every day.
Yeah.
I didn't know that that was just a tradition of yours. It's a tradition unlike any other. And possibly
different.
Just made
you know
up
it.
On the spot. So, it is, by the way, since you bring it up, how do you feel about the first snowfall? Because my feeling this morning, I looked out the window, I saw that it's that beautiful, picturesque scene, right, where the snow is clinging to the branches of the trees. Everything is coated in this beautiful, glistening, white, snow-covered scene. And then I think, oh, crap, now I got to go shovel. So it only lasts for about 5 or 6 seconds before I think, all right, I got to get out there and clear the driveway. And as you know, if I don't get up early enough, and today I did not get up early enough before Paula leaves with the girls for school, now I got tire tracks I got to scrape up in the driveway.
Yep.
But you love the snow. You even get dressed up for it.
I do. I think it's what makes this state beautiful. A little snow.
Walking in a winter wonderland.
It's been an unbelievable fall. Weather's been fantastic. I'm ready for winter. Bring it on, baby. Let's go. Bring it on.
Bring it or fling it. Winter. All right, so big one this Sunday. Packers 49ers.
That's what I heard. Yep.
Are you as excited about that matchup? Allegedly, you're attending it.
I am.
You did, and by the way, I'm not putting your information on the street. You said that yourself on the program earlier this week,
yeah,
for the record.
Absolutely.
But are you as excited about that as you are about the first snowfall in your sport coat?
I'm excited. I have I try to get to two or three games a year now, and this was one I had circled. The Texans game was the other one, and unfortunately, some stuff came up. I couldn't go. So I'm fired up. I think this team, this is our non-geographical biggest rival we have. Mm-hmm. And it's been like that outside of that little Cowboys stint from, what, 93 to 97. It's always been the Niners and us. That's been it. I mean, the Seahawks jumped in there for a bit. But this has been our kryptonite. And I think they're super vulnerable. And I do think, and I got into it a little bit with old Rutbone last night on his show, I do think this is a dagger game. And he's trying to say, well, it's a dagger for the Packers, too. No, it's not. Dude, it's not. The Packers are going to make the playoffs. It might be a dagger for their divisional hopes, but it ain't a dagger game for them. This is the Packers hold the dagger. Whether or not they're going to shove it in Kyle Shanahan's chest is one thing. If you don't, you don't. But it's not going to get flipped back around on you. That's not where we're at in this game. So I know Gladiator's coming out, and I'm fired up about that. Hopefully, will that be on the airplane heading to Nebraska tomorrow, or is that too soon?
I don't think so, no.
That's too bad.
Maybe you could watch.
Fun. I would have enjoyed that.
What was the Peacock movie that you were, Oppenheimer? You were so patiently waiting for that to be available to you?
I wait very, very patient with Oppenheimer, and I'm not going to lie to you, it wasn't worth the hype, in my opinion. So that's where I think this game is. I think it's a big boy game. I am going to be curious, listening to you guys on Green Bay Game Day, whether or not Bosa plays. I think that's going to be – Kittle has announced he's playing. Bring it on.
He has.
Great. But I just think it's a fun matchup there. It's good to have this in sports where you have to keep punching at somebody, and eventually you either knock them out or they knock you out. This is not going to be a Mike Tyson-Jake Paul fight. Somebody's going to get bloodied. I just hope that it's the G&G doing the bloodying, and Kyle Shanahan goes home a little bit wah-wah on the way home.
All right, so let's get to the rest of the show later, because you've brought something up now. Rutbone, I assume, is Jim Rutledge.
Let's get to the rest of the show later?
Well, we had some other things planned, but you brought up this. First of all, I've never heard Jim Rutledge referred to as Rutbone.
The bone.
Is that common?
He's the bone.
Am I not among the cool kids that call him Rutbone?
I just get excited. Listen, man, it's that first snow is a big deal for me. So I'm just fired up today. I'm like a dog chasing a bone. Am I right, big cat?
Woof woof.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's gonna be quite the show today. So in your conversation with Jim Rutledge, aka Rutbone, what was his argument that this is a Packers dagger game going their direction? Or is that just Bears bitterness that led him to say
that? He just hates the Packers. He hates the Packers, and that's fine. I don't want to get into that, but to try and equivocate that, well, the Packers losing is going to be a dagger to them, it's not math. Like, there's no math to that equation.
Wasn't it based on
the Niners' schedule? And if you're an analytical person, the Niners' schedule is really tough. Green Bay's, they have some tough games left, no doubt, but they're going to get to 10 wins. 10 wins is going to get you into playoffs. It's going to get you a 6 or 7 seed. And that's, I think, especially if Green Bay doesn't daggerize the Niners this weekend, that's probably where they're going to end up. And I think anybody's going to be mad about that. If you're sitting there as a 6 seed having to go to Washington to play in the opener, I'm not mad about that.
So the reason I brought up your conversation with Rutbone is because If this isn't a, air quotes, must-win game for the Packers, it is as close to a must-win game for the 49ers, right? Like, they could still win the division. They're NFC West because the Cardinals, who I don't know if you've heard on this show, aren't very good, are leading the division at 6-4. They've got a one-game lead on the 49ers right now, and the other two teams in the division, right? Everybody is 5-5 except for Arizona.
Yeah, and I want, Jason, I want to fact-check myself, too, from yesterday. The Niners are 1-3 in the division. They did beat Seattle earlier in the year. So they have lost to everybody once. They've played Seattle twice, and I want to just make sure because I want to be a beacon of honesty on this show.
That's you.
1-3 yeah. in the division.
Okay. So what I guess my question for you is based on this theory. You talk about what – I can't remember if it was McCarthy or Sherman with the wounded dog or the wounded animal or the caged animal or whatever the analogy was. Don't the 49ers have that in their advantage? Like if you're doing a pros and cons list, their desperation, if that matters, is greater, right?
Yes. Yeah, there is.
So how
no
does that
doubt.
Influence what happens on Sunday?
That's what makes it that much more difficult, but that much sweeter if you can daggerize them. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, San Fran's coming. They're going to come buckets ready to empty. They're not going to hold anything back. Whether or not their quarterback's going to be healthy enough and, you know, how effective McCaffrey's going to be, there's a lot of questions. But I do think this team, they're super vulnerable. And, yes, it's great when you're vulnerable and you can welcome in all kinds of love, but you can also get your bust, you can also get your butt, your heart broken, right? So it's that's where this is at. I think San Fran is in that. We're either going to get gutted or we're going to rekindle this opportunity. And then all of a sudden, it does get more interesting. You'd own the tiebreaker and things like that. So while Green Bay, I'm sure if they get a win this weekend, their playoff percentages will. I look at the big picture as well. And the big picture here is you beat San Fran. San Fran is not going to have a tiebreaker versus you. Minnesota's already a couple games up, and I believe they beat San Fran, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So correct. Those two teams will have the head-to-head against you. Now you're basically pigeonholing yourself as we win the West or we're out, and we're already 1-3 in the West. That's why my analytics firm, 565, and I have not verified this with them yet, but as the president,
of course not.
I'm going to throw it out there, and they can argue with me. That's where we're at, and that's why I think this is such a big game for San Fran. Every game's a big game for the G&G, and if you want to win the division, this is a monster game. But you know what else is? Next week and the next week, because you don't have – after you lost to Detroit, your margin of error is slim to none. This weekend, I think the margin of error slim to none is on the San Francisco side of the equation.
Yeah. That's fair. All right. I want to get into this rivalry.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love when you don't mind.
Yeah.
If you don't mind, we have this weird setup today. We have to end the portion of the program that is going on ESPN Madison and ESPN Beaver Dam at 9:29. So it's not an indication of what you said is not interesting. It's 9:14, and I'm up against
don't
the clock,
so
and I have to be more disciplined today than I am
so
normally
sensitive.
With you. So if you could tell us about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
You see the snow? It's another reason I put that sport jacket on. Don't spend another winter shivering at home. With the wind howling through your windows. Take advantage of this deal. Okay, the wind is done. Take advantage of this deal at Pella. No interest, no payments for 12 months. Keep your home comfortable. Save on energy bills thanks to customizable windows and doors from Pella. Pella can design them to look like they've been a part of your home throughout its history. Visit PellaWI.com today to learn more. Certain restrictions do apply.
We'll hear what Matt LaFleur had to say about the – it doesn't distract me, but if you'd like to do that, that's fine. We'll hear what Matt LaFleur had to say about the rivalry between the Packers and the 49ers during his tenure. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sponsored by American Family Insurance.
Packers 49ers Sunday at Lambeau Field, 3:25 starts. Green Bay game day will get you going at noon. The Wildy Hour is scheduled from 1 until 2 with Alex Strofe hosting the festivities on Sunday. Tausch, we've talked a little bit about Packers 49ers, and so did Matt LaFleur yesterday discussing the rivalry. He got a question, and I thought it was a very good question, and that's because it was mine, about this rivalry. Here is how that conversation went between Matt LaFleur and yours truly.
A lot of questions last week about the Bears rivalry. How do you view the matchup with the 49ers? Like, a lot of the coaches that were there at the beginning for you are at other places, but Kyle's still there. We know what they've done against you guys in the playoffs. How do you view that competition?
Yeah, I feel like we're going against one of the premier teams in the National Football League, and I know their record's certainly not where they want to be right now, but I think that I think they got the respect of everybody in this league in terms of what they've been able to do and what they're capable of doing. I think they're as good as any team in the league.
Thanks, Matt. That was super helpful. Tausch, do you view the...
Hey, was the question great?
Yeah, I thought it was.
Oh,
actually.
Okay, good.
They've ended...
Kudos
to you. Look, you've been the coach for... Maybe I should have said, hey, man, you've been the coach for 5 seasons, and you lost a NFC Championship game at home to the Buccaneers with the stadium having like 1,000 fans in it. But Tausch and his son were there, and
super excited about that.
And you had a chance to make the playoffs, win, and you're in against the Detroit team that had already been eliminated from the playoffs, and you lost to them at home on the last day of the season. Other than that, your season's end with the 49ers kicking your ass. How does that make you feel? I mean, if you wanted me to get more of a reaction, but my point is that even though it's really only Shanahan and LaFleur that are still kind of connected here, you got Saleh kind of on the Packers staff now. You got Jeff Hafley. You got Adam Stenovich. They were in San Francisco previously. But from a 49ers perspective, all those guys, his brother, Saleh, Mike McDaniel, all those guys are gonzo. So it's really, but they have had such an impact on the Packers' seasons, largely by ending them. And the answer wasn't great. But other people were good,
no,
so I'm glad about that.
I think it's always a coach's job to kind of get your team's mindset in the right place. And I don't think revenge is ever the best dish. I think you having your own success. And I tell this story all the time because in 2009, we were obsessed with the Brett Favre Minnesota Vikings.
It's true.
It was an obsession with our staff, with everybody involved. And then when that didn't go well, zip, air came out the balloon. And that, I think, lessons learned, and I know Matt wasn't obviously on that staff, but from an organizational standpoint, if your goal is to chase championships, yes, you need to be up and ready to beat the big boys. And San Francisco has been the big boys, but you have to keep the main thing the main thing. Now, if you do this in the playoffs, yeah, let it rip. Then it's all of the intensity and everything is ratcheted up 7 times, right? Mm-hmm. So in this case, if I'm advising Matt LaFleur, I want to say nothing here. Just, yeah, San Fran's struggling, but we know that they're a great football team and they deserve the respect of everybody. And they do. They have that. And that's what will make it so much sweeter if we go out there and kick their keisters. And I think Matt LaFleur feels really good about this matchup, especially the fact that it's here. Might be a little bit. Isn't it an advantage to us now if it's snowing and it's crappy out? Is that an advantage? Because I would argue it's more of an advantage this year than it was last year. And
why?
That all stems
because of Josh
JJ.
Jacobs?
If you'd let me, yes, JJ. Yeah.
Well, I would like to point out, you asked me a question. Is it an advantage? So I was trying to answer.
Okay. No, I ain't gonna lie to you. That's a fair point.
Let me ask you this then. So if you view that as an advantage, and I agree with you, by the way, that it's more of an advantage, I would also say that the days of the Packers not being a dome team, you know, Rodgers obviously undid that. There had been that theory about his predecessor, Brett Favre, couldn't win in domes. But I don't know if cold weather and home field advantage at Lambeau Field is as big of an advantage overall, big picture, as it may have been in the past. The 49ers don't feel like one of the teams that the snow would be as big of an advantage against, because they're, even though they're out in San Francisco, they strike me as a, we can be good in any conditions, and they've done it, right? I mean, they've come into Lambeau in the playoffs a few times over the last decade and beaten these guys. So I don't know if specifically on Sunday it's as big of an advantage as much as maybe next Thursday on Thanksgiving when they're playing the Miami Dolphins if the weather's like this.
Yes, I would agree with that. Which of these 49ers playoff losses is the most gut-wrenching?
Ooh. All right, I'm going to need some time to think about that.
Let's go post, because 98 would be the top of the list, I believe.
Yes, you weren't even on the team yet. That's how long ago that was.
No, that's what I'm saying. I want to go 99 and up, because that 99 McGarahan Rice fumbled. That game is a gut wrencher to everybody involved. Uh-huh. Holmgren's last game.
Yep.
But in this new era of football, this decade or this century.
So starting with Kaepernick,
it would be, because how many times has it been four? Or is it five times that the
five,
Niners are eliminated?
Five.
Oh, my
yes.
God.
Oh, five, starting with 2012. So we'll get into that. Now, here's the deal. And Tosh is going to tell you about Prize Picks before we go. Here's what's happening here. We're not on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel, so I only have one set of comments to be following. We're on ESPN Milwaukee's YouTube channel. We are obviously on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. So if you're listening right now, this moment, on ESPN Madison 100.5 or ESPN Beaver Dam 1430, you are going to leave us for WIAA State High School football coverage. But if you want to keep listening to us, we'd love to have you. So go to Wisconsin On Demand and listen live. Use the ESPN app. Go to ESPNWisconsin.com. Join us on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channel. All those places you can listen to us. That sounds like at least four or five. The projection of ways to listen to us still is a 4.5. You should take more, like Tausch likes to take, on Prize Picks.
Prize Picks, the best way to get real money sports action. Over 10 million members, billions of dollars, and it is it's easy to play. So easy I could play. Pick more or less on two players and get a chance to win up to 100 times your cash. And when your picks hit, you get your money in as quick as 15 minutes, and boy, do I have a deal for y'all today. Packers-Dolphins on Thursday night, correct? Tyreek Hill, 0.5 yards receiving. I don't know who's going to be all playing. I feel pretty good about that. You team that up with one other one, real cash in your pockets. You can win up to that 100 times if you go all the way up to 4 correct picks. Download the app today. Use that code WI to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, that's code WI to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. But again, the Tyreek Hill receiving yards, it's going to be live today. You can pair that up with a bunch of stuff. Have a ton of fun. Prize Picks, run
your
game.
Game, we got to go. Bye.
This is Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN, sponsored by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
It started with a whisper.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channel. WisconsinOnDemand.com, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app. Still lots of ways to listen. Your Alexa smart speaker, just not 100.5 ESPN Madison or the Madison YouTube channel. So, we're happy to have you, however you're listening, and we appreciate you putting forth extra effort to listen to us today, because there's a little bit of juggling going on.
Now, and the good news is you're going to be spending a lot more time in your car today because of the snowfall. That's the good news.
Oh, because your commute's slower.
Yes, yes. my hit with Vinny and Eric this morning, Debbie Lozica literally was on air for about 25 minutes.
I bet.
Talking
yeah.
about different great, traffic patterns. And yeah. She is really good.
Yeah. So are we at times, but not most of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What else would you like to add to our extolling That's the it. Virtues of Debbie Lozaga?
I just wanted to give Debbie a shout out. That's all. No big deal.
Which we did. I even interjected. We don't need the instant replay, but I interjected how she's really good. Okay. I would like to get to a phrase that I am curious if you ever heard during your playing days.
Okay.
So as we discussed on yesterday's program when Brian Bulaga joined us, and even I think we even started the conversation before he joined us, and then Tackle Talk got into it further. But Rasheed Walker has got his you-know-what together. He was committing a fair number of penalties early on. He gave up a sack or two, and he's played quite well of late. And we talked about it, and I said, you know what, that's not a bad idea for a Wisconsin State Journal story this week. And so I inquired with Matt LaFleur, for as bad as his 49ers answer was, this one, in the words of Dumb and Dumber, totally redeemed himself, even though it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Here is how Matt LaFleur answered a question from me about how Rasheed Walker has played of late.
Bosa or no Bosa, what do you think of how Sheed's been the last few weeks? He seems to have gotten the penalties under control. He seems to be playing pretty well.
Yeah, I think he's been doing a better job for sure. And I think it all starts with his approach. I've noticed just how intentional he is in his preparation. We always talk about, walk through to Indy to team, and then team ultimately to game day. And so I think he's done a really good job with that, and it's got to continue, because I always tell him, I don't want to pat you on the butt and you poop my hand, so.
Is that your own, or did you get that from?
That's an old line, that with some other words, but that was the PG version right there.
Yes, the PG version right there, much like the PG version of Wedding Crashers that the Tauscher family can watch at Thanksgiving or Christmas. Have you heard that one before?
Never.
I think I know which words are being replaced in the R-rated version, but you've never...
Well, you kick him in the keister.
I had never heard anyone say that before, ever.
Well, if you pat on the butt, you can't kick him in the keister. So, I don't know... It's always you give him a pat on the back or you kick him in the blank. That's what right. I've always been told. Because sometimes you need to put your arm around a guy and everything's going to be all right. And then there's other times it's like boot up the keister. That's kind of where I lived. And this whole deal, I'm not 100% sure if that makes a ton of sense, if I'm being honest with you.
Yeah. So I think that, and again, you're a big analogy guy. This is a little bit more. I don't know what it is.
This is like a proverb. This is more of a proverb.
Aesop's fables of the lion who was patted on the keister and pooped on the guy's hand. I think his point is, I don't want to be praising you and then you play like poop, because that would be bad. But I thought it was interesting, all poop jokes aside, I thought it was interesting that he talked about Rasheed's process. And I was hoping you could help me understand, because I took that, and tell me if I'm wrong to take it that way, that even though Rashid is the starting left tackle, he has had not developed the type of high-level pro preparation that you and Cliffy or David and Bulaga developed. And maybe it's understandable because he's not that far into his career, but what did you make about that part of the answer?
Well, I think there's a growth process with everybody. And there's rare exceptions where guys will come in and they got it figured out from the jump. I haven't met anybody. I think that's mm-hmm. where your leadership in your room and how they prepare. Guys, for me, I looked at how Marco prepared. And I would see and watch his process. And so far as, okay, you get a massage on this day, you do this, you do this, you watch film here, you'll go get a workout here. And you want to see the guys that have been successful, you want to take what they do and implement it into your process. A lot of times, especially I'm sure with Sheed, it was, you know, he's battling for a job and he's scrapping and he's doing it. And he's also a young guy. So, you know, and I know TJ Lang went through a process where he was kind of, you know, he didn't get thrown into the fire right away. Rashid did. And so you're trying to kind of figure out, all right, what do I need to do to give myself the best opportunity to play the best football I can on game day? And it's not just, well, this is what so-and-so does, this is what Zach Tom does, I'm going to do it. Well, it doesn't work like that. Lord knows Cliffy and I could not have had different processes. Like, that's just, that it wasn't going to be. But the basic principles is you want to get your structure in place. That's why we're all so neurotic. Still, to this day, you could ask Sarah, I have some serious neuroses. I think all of us as old linemen, because we're so, that's how we get comfortable. That's how we can execute and play at our best, is to have that structure and to have those processes in place. And it doesn't just happen like that. You go through it and you learn it, and it is important to make sure you know what you're doing in walkthroughs and jog-throughs. Can you have a little fun? Yes, but you have to make the main thing the main thing. Mm-hmm. That's what I heard, what Matt LaFleur was saying right there.
So when a coach says that and he talks about how much better his process is, how encouraged are you about that? Because we talk about growth all the time, and we talked a lot earlier in the week about the growth that Christian Watson has shown, but even though you've earned the starting job doesn't mean you stop growing. And clearly, this is an area where Sheed, who we both like, right? You saw him on the tailgate tour. I talked to him in the locker room regularly. He's a really good seventh-round pick story like you were. But he is still in the growing process and figuring out how to do his job. Is it encouraging for a player to struggle some, not enough to lose his job, but certainly not playing well enough for them to be happy with him, to now have done this and cleaned up his process in the process?
In a perfect world, you're just a stud and you don't have to go through that, but at some point every player has bad plays and has a bad game, and how you respond, that old adage, it's not how many times you get knocked down, it's how many times you get up. Mm-hmm. That's football. That is football to a T, and I think Sheed has had some moments where he's gotten knocked down, and the thing that's impressive to me is the dude doesn't get phased. Like, it's like, all right, oh, you want to draft a kid in the first round? Cool. All right, you're going to do this. Yeah, it's fine. I trust my abilities, and I know that I'm going to win this job, and I know I'm going to play well, and when he's getting some holdings and some other things, it's I'm going to get it cleaned up. And he has. And whether or not he's kind of figured that out through, you know, working a little extra with the coach on getting his hands or understanding when a guy runs – the running back is running past you, let go. It's you want finish, but you want to make sure you're smart about what you're doing. And I think that just comes from experience. And he's getting more experience, and I think he's understanding how he wants. You know, to me, offensive tackle is about, can I get that guy that's across from me in a position I want to be in 90% of the time? And then the other 10%, I'm going to grind and battle and balance and fight and scrap. Mm-hmm.
because there's going to be 10% where you're laid off the ball or a guy makes a great move and you just scramble and compete. But I want the other 90% to be, I'm in my set and you're reacting to me. And I think she is figuring out, all right, this is what I'm really good at. You always want to play to your strengths as an offensive lineman. And when you can do that and you figure out what your strengths are, how am I going to get it where I'm going to utilize my strengths versus him? I don't care what he's going to do. Because if I'm in position, nobody's beating me. That's the mindset that I think offensive linemen are always trying to find.
So since I made the mistake once upon a time on this show, and Lord knows you'll never let me forget it when I make those mistakes. It's part of your charm. The idea that Aaron Donald would be able to play through an oblique injury in a playoff game, and it turned out he wasn't able to. How much do things change for Sheed if he doesn't have to worry about Nick Bosa doing the Trump sack dance over him if he doesn't play?
Well, he'll sleep a lot better. It'll be a lot easier to sleep.
Did you struggle to sleep when you knew you had a big matchup? Like, is that true?
I'm going to say this. I never struggled to sleep at home. Like, when we were at the Oneida Casino, and I still think it's hilarious that we're just walking through the bar and going through the casino to go to meeting rooms. It's still crazy to me, that whole deal. And then we'd try to sneak through the pool, and then there'd be people lined up at the pool, and then we'd, like, go like Sirhan, going back through the kitchen and everything else. It just was, I don't know how Favre and Rodgers did. I don't know. But, yeah, I'd sleep like a champ at there. But when it was on the road and you're playing against a dog, yeah, you're a little bit more fidgety in those cases for sure.
Of all the names that have been mentioned on this show, especially 80s catchers, found myself yesterday thinking about Ron Karkovice. I did not have Sirhan on my list of names that might be mentioned. But it's true. Went through the kitchen with disastrous results. Not expected. All right, so there's another player who could be in a very crucial position on Sunday and be challenged, especially if Jair Alexander doesn't play. And I don't think he's going to play. I'll tell you who that player is and see what Tausch thinks next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
You're listening to Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Missed any of the show? Find us on Wisconsin On Demand wherever you get your podcasts. It's free, it's everywhere, and it's for you.
But I'm thinking it's time for a change. Get out of the lane. More than just stay there. You feel like it's unfair. It's time for a change. Get out of your brain.
During the 10 o'clock hour, we will get back. I know some of you probably think I forgot about it, but I didn't. Tausch had a really good question. But again, clock management at a premium today.
Yeah, for sure. Got to be tight. TMJ, it's like TMJ clocks today. We got hard outs, we got ins, and we got a little.
There is no way that Vinny and the boys control you on their show either. Don't try to tell me that they hit their clocks perfectly.
No, we do. Yeah,
no
almost
way.
Every.
No, nope, like, that's a lie. I'm almost calling,
always.
I'm calling at Vinny right now.
Yeah.
Eric, Jason, Eric Bilstad. This is a lie. It's a lie.
Jason,
a lie.
There's hard outs. There's hard outs. There's hard outs.
There was a hard out at the end of our show yesterday. You kept talking. There was a hard out.
I didn't
as
even
we were
talk.
Say goodbye
you...
to Beaver Dam and Madison, and you kept coming up with more parts of your prize picks, Reed, to keep going.
I'm not going to lie to you. I have some regret today. I have remorse. I have some remorse.
What about?
Bitcoin. I didn't get in on the Bitcoin like I would have liked. Bitcoin is crazy. You see where Bitcoin's at? Bitcoin's almost 100,000 Bitcoin. It's up, almost up to 100,000 a coin.
It is as I'm not an expert in investing. There does appear with our president-elect that there might be some measure of a rebound of Bitcoin also because of the expectations of his presidency.
It's crazy.
But yeah. I also was here when we were talking about Tom Brady taking that Fox job, in part because he lost his shirt on Bitcoin.
On Bitcoin. But does that Bitcoin go away, or did he still own that Bitcoin? That's the problem.
It's
is
so
I don't know
it's
the whole
imaginary
thing.
It's imaginary money.
I don't get it, but that doesn't mean it's not. Yeah, so I don't know. I just playing some pickleball this morning. Guys are talking about Bitcoin, and then I looked at him like, oh my gosh, Bitcoin is climbing that ladder. I just want to make sure I'm not a certified financial analyst. Don't take anything I'm saying.
Despite wearing a sport coat on today's show, he is not a financial analyst.
Josh, are you a Bitcoin cat, big cat?
I do have some Bitcoin that I bought quite a while ago.
Good for you.
There was one time,
and this dates
back to when I was in college many years ago. I was offered $20 or a Bitcoin by a friend who had invested very early. That friend now lives in Vegas in a mansion and owns multiple business and is well in the millionaire era. I took the $20 cash instead of the $20 Bitcoin.
Joshy.
I didn't know what it was. I had never heard
Bitcoin.
Of it.
Well, and then how about the one dude buying a pizza with two Bitcoin?
Yeah.
He had two Bitcoin and he paid the pizza dude in Bitcoin. Now that dude's got 200K in his pocket.
Yeah.
Or two Bitcoin. I don't know. Again, not a financial advisor. Just want to make sure I'm looking right at the camera so that.
Yes. Thank God you told us because we were confused for a moment there.
The pencil.
So we'll get back to the 49ers and which playoff loss by the Packers.
I'm trying to retweet this, but I can't find our Twitter. I think we're struggling. We're not on Twitter today, right?
No, we're on Twitter. ESPN Milwaukee's Twitter.
Oh!
I just tweeted it out. So just go to my X page, and that'll really help you out.
Oh, okay, good.
But if I may. So we'll get to that at the top of the 10 o'clock hour, because I also wanted to be able to ask Rob Domofsky that question, because he's been covering all those playoff games as well. So I did not forget about your brilliant idea. Again, Mark Tauscher, not a certified financial advisor, merely
a football analyst.
But the guy that I want to talk about is Carrington Valentine, because we spent some time earlier this week discussing the disappointments of first-round picks, right? And the Jair Alexander mystery rolls on. He was in the locker room yesterday, but it was when I was talking to Jordan Love and to Xavier McKinney. And I really want to talk to Jair. I do not want to write something or say anything about him. He did not speak to any reporters. He was in there, but nobody talked to him. And I had to get Rudy Ford, who just happened to stop by.
That's okay.
But
I was going to jump in and give a Rudy Ford joke. You beat me to it.
I know what I'm doing here.
So Jair was there, but he just didn't want to talk, or he's injured, so he didn't have to.
He's not on injured reserve, so he isn't prevented from being spoken to either. It was a weird locker room. He came through. I don't want to get too far into how my job works, but I don't want to interrupt people when they're having conversations with their own teammates. Like, occasionally I would linger around the Domino's table or the cribbage table, and then if one of you knuckleheads would say, Wildy, do you have a question? Then I would come up and you guys could play and still talk, which was great. But Jair was talking to Keyshawn Nixon and he was talking to somebody else. So that I'm hoping today I could talk to him because I want to understand what's going on with him and I want him the chance to speak. Now, that said, the other corner would be Eric Stokes, who was among the disappointing first round picks on defense that we were talking about. But our whole point is that they have done a good job, and Goody has done a good job, of finding other gems, perhaps uncut gems, later in drafts, who make up for maybe mistakes or misses earlier in the draft. And Carrington Valentine appears to be one of those guys. So I asked Matt LaFleur, because I'm not expecting Jair to play on Sunday. I'm expecting Carrington Valentine to start in his place. Here is what Matt LaFleur had to say.
Thinking of next guys, what did you think of Carrington on Sunday? And I know he's had kind of an injury plagued up and down start to the year. Does he seem to be getting back to himself?
Yeah, I think he did a nice job. You know, I thought there were a couple instances where he was able to crack a place and make some tackles, and so we're excited about him, and I think he's got a huge upside.
Look, Tausch, he is not a two-time second-team All-Pro, but he started 14 games as a rookie seventh-round pick last year. You certainly know what that's like as a player. That's not easy to do, and he's legit. Like, I'm not saying he's, you know, the next Tremont Williams or Sam Shields, but he is not just a guy you throw out there because you have no other options. But if let's say Jair's knee issue is something more than we thought it was, and it lingers and he starts missing more and more games down the stretch like he did last year, can they win with Carrington Valentine?
I mean, I think so. It's going to depend a lot on whether or not that front four is going to be able to get pressure. But I think he's a good corner. We have to see more, but there's no doubt. Mm-hmm. Jeff Hafley, I think, wants to do what he wants to do, and he needs Jair being a peak Jair to do it. So I don't know if you can max out on this defense if you don't have your $24 million cornerback. I think that obviously changes the math, but the fact that he's getting healthy and he obviously has usurped the spot from Stokey, he's going to be the guy. That tells you that they have confidence in him, and you know whether or not he's going to be able to play at a level above, we'll find that out. I don't know if we have an answer on that yet. Who do the Packers front office trust more, Jair or Romeo Doubs, as we sit here today?
Oh, boy, is that a good question. I don't think they trust either one of them all that much.
That's why I asked it.
I know. But I don't know the answer. Because I think they both make management leery. Because they don't. What do coaches and general managers want? Certainty. Sleep. Yeah, they want to sleep. Especially at the Oneida Casino Hotel, walking through the pool area. And I don't think they just don't know what they're going to get from them, right?
I think, like, the answer is Romeo Doubs. The answer is Romeo.
Not by much. Not by much.
I'm not saying it's a TKO.
Here's the thing. I think they thought that they could believe in Jair again. Right? Hit it off with the strength and conditioning staff.
Yep.
Hit it off with Jeff Hafley, Derek Ansley, et cetera, et cetera. Was really in a good place. Clearly was positively influenced by Xavier McKinney.
For sure.
I think all seemed right with the world. And now we're questioning it again. And some of it is a reflection of what happened last season when he was definitely disgruntled. And it makes you wonder what exactly happened last Sunday and what it means going forward. And he's got history of that that makes you think more about it. Rome didn't have that history, right? He did not have an incident last year that then was compounded by what happened earlier this year. Oh, so you're probably
I thought you were talking about the Roman Empire. You just said Rome, and I started wondering with Gladiator coming out if you were going to get into, like, why the Roman Empire fell. Don't call him Rome. Do people call him Rome?
That is what they call him, Rome.
Really?
Like, people call you Tausch. They call him Rome.
Well, we're just too lazy to put an O on it now? Romo.
I don't call him that, and I did there, and I'm glad I did because it led to this discussion.
Romeo is a three-syllable deal. Romeo. And that's not a lot of words.
Romeo!
It's not a lot of letters.
Sorry.
It's not a lot of letters for three syllables. I don't know if you're going to find a three-syllable name with shorter letters than Romeo.
To kick off the 10 o'clock hour, we will discuss the most gut-wrenching Packers playoff losses to the 49ers, and the shortest three-syllable words. That's what you get on Wildy and Tausch.